Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
It's an honor to introduce to you passionate artists and leaders whose talents shape our arts community. How do they create and why? And how will Orlando benefit from a growing arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Well, hello, Mary. So good to be with you again tonight. And we are, this has been an incredible 2 weeks in our community. I can't believe that we've been living in this world for 2 weeks. And tonight we have an extremely special show as we look at the response of not just our community, but really our artistic community to what has happened in this, and really a couple of things. One, the loss of 49 beautiful lives in the Pulse tragedy, but also the loss of Christina Grimmie at Plaza Live. And so tonight we want to just talk about that. We want to talk about the artistic response and how artists have overwhelmingly come out to say, we want to give back. We want to be involved. We want to express. We want to be a part of the healing of what's transpired.
For those of you who are listening, Joshua and I talked about wanting to do a show to acknowledge what we call the first responders of our creative artists. The artists were the first to say, what can we do? And in 2 weeks, there have been benefits, concerts, musicians, artists, people sewing wings. It's been amazing that out of this tragedy, there has also been a lot of beauty. And there's another benefit that's coming up Tuesday that we want to let all of you know about, because you'll be hearing this Sunday night. We're pre-taping this on Thursday afternoon. And I think we're going to spend some time telling you about the collaboration of what the artists are going to be able to present to raise a lot of money for families.
Yeah, you know, I just did an interview on TV yesterday, and there were such poignant questions. And one of those led me to the response of, you know, if these 49, 50, including Christina, beautiful lives knew the amazing good that is coming out of this situation, boy, if my life could ever bring out so much good, and we're seeing the very best in humanity pour out in our community here in Orlando, what a unity has transpired, and there is no difference in the arts community. And we are having a big arts tribute concert that's happening Tuesday night, June 28th at 8 o'clock at the Dr. Phillips Center, and it is one of many things that are happening here through arts, many benefit concerts and expressions, and so this is just one of many that we're talking about during this time together. But on the phone today and in the studio, we have three influential leaders in our community two of them have been very much a part of this tribute concert, and one of them have been a supporter of the concert and a supporter of all artists in general. So we have Eric Jacobson, the artistic director of the Orlando Philharmonic Orchestra. We have Cole Neesmith, the founder and executive director of Creative City Project, and Matt Palm, our dear friend, arts writer for the Orlando Sentinel. And so we're so grateful that all three of you have joined us on the show tonight. So welcome.
Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Hello. Thanks so much for having us.
Great. So Eric and Cole, talk to us a little bit about really how this arts tribute concert transpired. I mean, I was a part of it too, but from your perspective, how did this happen and why was there such an outpouring? Eric, maybe you can start with that.
Sure. I think one of the first things we always think about at important moments in life, whether they're tragic or beautiful, is music, is song, is being together and sharing a moment. It's very hard to think of a moment in your life, a turning point in your life, a huge decision that somehow wasn't accompanied by an art form, and generally speaking, it's song, whether it's the important day of your life of getting married or a funeral or friends coming together and sitting together and making life decisions for your future. Music is a part of that. And I think, therefore, it's such an obvious thing that when tragedy strikes, when violence overtakes our bodies and our souls, and we have nothing to turn to because we all of a sudden become deer in headlights. We all think about our lives and wonder what's the point? Mm-hmm. I think everyone probably has asked that question over the last 2 weeks. What's the point of doing the thing I do when these incredible acts of violence are taking place? And I think luckily because human nature is intrinsically beautiful and underdog resilience, we come together, and often one of the most healing things for a community is sitting together in a group of humanity and singing together and hearing music and witnessing music and playing music. So I think from the Orlando community, the musicians, the outpouring of, we need to do something together. We need to play music together. We need to sing together. We need to be able to sit next to someone that we don't know and share a beautiful moment with that person. And that's, it's, you know, it brings tears to my eyes talking about it, because those are the moments that we live for. Mm-hmm. Those are the moments that we remember. They're the ones that give us chills. They're the ones that, if as artists we could create those moments, we would. And unfortunately, it's so tragic that those moments are often created by horrific things.
Yeah, Eric, so beautifully said. And if you're just now tuning into the show here on Magic 107 From the Heart, Mary Thompson Hunt and I are just talking to wonderful art leaders and guests about the tribute concert coming up. And Eric, I remember the day that I met you at a little reception as you were making the decisions about coming to Orlando and about coming to this community. And you haven't been involved here for very long, but I have to say you have been a leading voice in this just outpouring of our artistic community, and how you have fallen in love with the people here. And you've been so wonderful in making sure that we have an outlet to respond, you know. And then Cole, you know, also so very involved in this tribute concert. But Cole, Eric said it, you know, that our souls want to express. Why is this concert so important?
Yeah, I remember, you know, I woke up Sunday morning, June 12th, and within, gosh, probably 30 minutes of waking up, Eric called me and said, what are we going to do? And throughout that day, there were just several other phone calls and text message conversations and email conversations from people all over our arts community asking, what can we do? And I think the answer is, yeah, we could do a tribute to raise money, and this event will raise money to go to the One Orlando Fund. But even more than that, when we ask the question, what can we do, I think all the artists who are involved believe in the healing power of art, believe in the ability for art to meet us in those difficult moments and lead us into a place of feeling deeply, whether that is the pain of mourning or it is the ability for us to turn an eye toward hope. And I think that's why this concert coming up on Tuesday is so important, is that it's an opportunity for thousands of members of our community to gather together with our arts community and not only remember those who were lost and honor their lives, but to also help all of us turn our eye toward hope.
So there are over 50 local Orlando, Central Florida art groups that are joining hands and linking arms to make this happen. There'll be a mass choir of 240 voices with 17 different choirs. There'll be a mass orchestra all conducted with 7 different orchestras, all conducted by Eric Jacobson. There are 14 dance groups, many visual arts groups, theater companies. The list continues to grow of how many arts organizations have said, yes, I want to be a part of this. And Matt, you know, you are a friend to all arts organizations. You help us get the word out about all the things that we're doing. Why do you think so many art organizations have said, yes, I want to be a part of this? And have you ever seen anything like this before?
No, I haven't seen so many arts groups come together to work on one particular show. I mean, there's festivals and things that bring together lots of arts groups, but not with maybe this one specific purpose. And to put it all together into one coherent, cohesive evening is extraordinary. I mean, it's not something that I've seen here before.
And why do you think so many arts organizations have responded? What do you think is that? Why is it happening?
I think it's the same reason on some level as people have lined up to give blood, or people have taken out their checkbooks, or people have bought shirts to help the cause. Everybody wants to do something. And artists, they feel their artistry in their souls and their hearts, and this is what they want to do. This is their way of helping. And was said, it raises money, which is great to help the victims and the families, but it also helps the community in the way that the artists can do best.
Also, as artists, we are the ones that are the super feelers, so to speak, super sensitive. And I think we help people process the emotions to have a place for it.
Yeah, and Cole, isn't that the point of this concert, is to really help take the people that are there that might watch it being streamed live, that might see a broadcast of it later? Isn't it about taking us on a journey from mourning to hope through the arts?
That's right. You know, we've kind of said the title of it is Beautiful Together, and it recognizes, you know, what really is happening in our community across the board, which is a new sense of unity. But, you know, we describe it as an artistic journey toward hope. And what we wanted to be really intentional about was, this isn't about the artists. It's not about the arts groups. This isn't a recital. This isn't about entertainment. This really is a group of people sitting in a room and asking, out of the amazing talent and resources and the artistic pieces themselves, how do we craft a journey that brings our community together under the banner of unity and help us process through some of the things that we've experienced together, and then use the power of art to put a smile on our face, or to, you know, cause us to reach out and grab the hand of the person we're standing next to remember that we're in this together and that there is much hope to be hoped for.
You're all listening to Magic 107.7 FM. I'm with Joshua Vickery, my esteemed co-host, and we're speaking today about the concert on Tuesday night. How has it been healing for you as a collaborative group to actually work on this project together?
Well, Eric, you should, you know, you are here, there, and everywhere, but you've been calling in every moment of every day and working on this. How has it been not being here, and has it been healing for you? I'm sure it has.
It's a good question. I feel pain in two ways. Of course, we all feel the loss and the emotional break with reality. However, I also, I've been traveling the last 2 weeks with things that were conceived way before this, and going from city to city playing concerts, where generally people meet me at the door and say, "Oh my God, how is everything?" Of course, you know, many cities, unfortunately, it is many cities, have experienced about 20 minutes from Sandy Hook in New Haven. Mm. And that was just 2 years ago that tragedy happened. And I think we're consistently confronted with these things that have to bring us together. Luckily, I feel like Cole and Josh, you guys have been able to lead such an incredibly important process and healing project. Actually, I would say also for the members of the arts community that are creating something, because I think so many of us who make art, there are, I know many people who suffer when they aren't creating, and when you get busy, you actually can figure out a way to cope. So not only do I feel like you guys have made something, you know, we've made it together for next Tuesday that will affect the 2,700 people that are there. However, I think what has happened, what you guys have created and curated, what we've done together in the last week, has also given everyone who's involved something to think about. And I think that's, you know, you could always make a joke or a reference to, well, someone lost their dear lover of 30 years or something. What do? You do everything to get that person out of the house, bring that person on a trip. You invite them over for dinner. You make them busy, because life goes on, and we need to create a world that actually can swallow up that hurt. And though we will never lose that hurt, we need to occupy it with something. And hopefully all of that energy and emotion that goes into dealing with that one thing actually can translate into something beautiful. And I think that's what's being created.
Absolutely. And the concert is called Beautiful Together, an artistic journey toward hope. It is Tuesday night, June 28th at 8 o'clock at the Walt Disney Theater, the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. 100% of the proceeds will go to the One Orlando Fund, which I think is just incredible. You can get your tickets at drphillipscenter.org. They are going quick, so go and get those tickets. And as we go from this segment, we're going to come back and spend more time with Matt Palm. But as we go, guys, can you just give us a couple of words or one sentence of how you think this situation, this tragedy, is going to make beautiful things here in our community? Eric?
Oh, Cole first.
Cole first.
I mean, I've already seen it bring out the best in our artists, and I believe it'll continue to do that as literally dozens of events are being planned to help our community walk through this tragedy together.
What do you think, Matt?
I think it's going to really be a sign of unity, and that's what this community needs.
Yeah. Eric?
I would say this is not probably the perfect metaphor, but sometimes when we witness a natural disaster, such as like a forest fire, you see an entire ecosystem destroyed, and no one knows what to do about it because it's literally, 100 years in the making to do that thing. However, we have a way of replenishing, and of course, a natural forest fire is a way for nature to recreate itself. And you have, shrubs and low bushes that actually create a new type of energy for the soil and grow up, and you have yet another forest that comes out of it, totally different, but just as beautiful. And you always remember that tragedy, and I'm sure we always will, but hopefully we'll be able to grow something just as beautiful out of it.
That is a beautiful way to end this segment, Eric. Thank you for those thoughts. And I know that Mary and I thank every single artist who has taken part in this concert. It's been beautiful doing this journey with you, Eric and Cole. Thank you for joining
thank
us
you.
On From the Heart. Thank and you. We will be right back to speak more with Matt Palm about all the other things that are happening in our community as artists give back on From the Heart.
Welcome back to From the Heart. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt here with my wonderful co-host, Joshua Vickery. We just had a great time speaking with Cole Neesmith and Eric Jacobson, and Matt Palm is still here. Right now, I have a friend on the phone that we're going to continue as we talk about current events here in Orlando in the last 2 weeks. Devonda Simmons, are you there?
I am. How are you, Mary?
I'm wonderful, beautiful lady. Thank you so much for being here. I was going to give you a call yesterday, and I spoke with France. It was her birthday. And I said, I was thinking of asking if maybe I could get you guys to sing something. And she said, well, you tell me where you're on your way to.
We are actually on our way to North Carolina to the homegoing service for Shane Tomlinson.
And Shane was, this is Joshua. Welcome to all of you. We're so glad you're on the show.
Hi,
and
Joshua.
Shane was such a well-respected, wonderful young man. It's so talented and so loved by our community.
Thank you
for going and supporting and representing so many artists who love him dearly. So we appreciate that.
I used to love him.
Well, Shane worked with us for 4 years with our choir, Joyful, that also performed in the area during the Christmas holidays. He joined us in 2012. And he had just been a joy to have around. You wanted a great spirit to walk in the door with energy and lots of fun, and he was that spirit.
Mm.
So he brought the joy and the fun with him, along with his talent. So it was really wonderful having him.
We've heard so many great stories about Shane and so many wonderful stories about all those that lost their life that night, and that they were just great people and amazing souls. And there, what has happened through this tragedy really, though, is bringing so much good and unity to our community. And I know Shane would be so happy with how many barriers are being broken down, how many walls are being broken down, how many relationships are being restored. There is some good coming out of this, for
sure. And the
fact
that you all are driving up there, That's just what he would want. What a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Well, I know you've pulled over just to give us a gift of your music. And thank you, because our listeners, I'm so proud to share you. And thank you for being here today. We're all
our
ears.
Our pleasure. Okay, here we are.
Hold on, my brother, don't get up. Hold on, my sister, just look up. There is a master plan in store for you. If you just make it through, God's gonna realize all your mind. He's gonna make it worth your time. For all of the trouble you've been through, the plastic stubble.
Beautiful.
So beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come. I think so for sure. And thank you guys for singing such beautiful voices. And I know that song represents hundreds and thousands of artists who are expressing so many wonderful things through music. So thank you all three for joining us and for sharing that beautiful song. And thank you for representing this community as you go to the beautiful service for Shane.
Our thoughts are with you. Have a safe trip. That was lovely. I love that they pulled over just to sing for us.
It's so great. And I tell you, we need to have some of them back on the show because they can sing.
Oh, yes. That was the best part of Epcot every Christmas.
So, Matt, you know, welcome back, Matt Palm,
Thanks.
The arts writer for the Orlando Sentinel. And, Matt, you know, we had planned on having you on the show already under different circumstances. But I think if there's just a few faces in this community that really represent the arts, you are one of them. No matter if it's visual arts or performing arts or theater or music, you don't see any silos. You see arts. And so I think you're just a great person to talk to about how the arts community is responding. Maybe some things that you're seeing among artists, some different things that are happening. So, Matt, tell us, we got to talk to you a little bit in the first segment, but tell us some of the things that you're seeing happening in this arts community besides just the tribute concert we talked about.
Well, it's interesting because I'm really seeing all sorts of arts groups getting involved with this. I mean, it's not just singers, or it's not just musicians, or it's not just visual artists. It really is everybody. I mean, when you look at the list of benefits and tributes and things that are planned, and you see diversity. I mean, everything from Winter Park Playhouse doing musical theater type cabaret benefit, which of course is their purview, is what they do best. And then you look and you also have the people from SAC Comedy Lab doing a night of improv. You know, just the variety of topics. Opera Orlando is teaming with Park Church.
Yeah, Park Lake
Park,
Presbyterian.
Park Lake,
yeah.
Park Lake Presbyterian to do, you know, a vocalist type of evening. And so it's just sort of amazing how it doesn't matter what your particular artistry is, what your particular talent, what your gift is. Everybody wants to help in the best way they can.
Yeah, and you think about how many people are giving their time for these benefits and how much money will be raised, but how many in-kind hours of artists, you know, thousands and thousands through all these different offerings.
Well, the latest this morning was a call out to seamstresses and to professional sewers because they're going to be making 49 wings. I just think that's beautiful. And I love the fact that so many people are like, oh, I'm on it, because that's their calling. I sew.
Right, that's the other thing. People are just so quick to respond. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, you're not seeing anyone say, let me check my schedule and get back to you. Let me look and see what I thought I was going to do this week. Everyone is just really dropping everything.
Has anything surprised you in one way or the other with our community?
You know, I think this is a compliment to Orlando's artists when I say, not really. Yeah. I mean, the artists in this community are a community of doers. And I don't mean just creating shows. You know, they're not just singing, dancing, whatever. We have a very socially active artist community in Orlando. I think we're very fortunate. I think a lot of times social issues influence the art that we see in this town, the plays that are picked, the themes of the concerts that are performed. There's just a lot of thought that goes into what goes on the stages around Central Florida. And I think that's a you know, a wonderful thing that's showing itself here.
Yeah, you're listening to Magic 107.7 FM from the heart. Thank you for listening to Mary Thompson Hunt and I. And we are just exploring and having conversation about really the event, the moment that rocked our community, but the good that's coming out of that as we honor those lives. And having conversation with Matt Palm, our arts writer, and really our champion and our advocate for the arts here in Central Florida, and to be able to get his perspective on how the arts community is responding is beautiful. But you were beginning to talk about, and I really want to talk more about that. You know, I think you're right. Here, people don't just create art for the sake of creating art. There is a lot of an agenda, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but when you talk about social justice, you're talking about moving the needle on things. That's very true of this community, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, we have our share of just silly light entertainment, which every community needs and everyone loves. But so many of the shows also really focus on deeper issues or are done in a way to make you think about deeper issues. All week this week, the Tony-winning musical Spring Awakening has been playing at the Dr. Phillips Center. There was a group who produced it there. And, you know, it has an international cast. They cast it very multiculturally. They put all this thought into how to make it relevant to everyone. And that's the kind of thought that we see through the artists of our community. This fall, I know Mad Cow Theater is doing a production of 1776, which is the musical about the founding of our country. However, they're going to cast it with all women, just to make you think about, you know, how things might have been different if maybe we had founding mothers instead of the founding fathers we talk about, or just to show a different perspective on things. And all our arts groups do that constantly to really make us think about issues while we're being entertained.
Our arts groups that make us think have grown and matured over the years. What do you attribute to that, the consciousness of it?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors, really. I mean, part of it is Orlando has grown over the years. As the city gets bigger, as more people come here, you're exposed to more ideas. You're exposed to new thoughts,
new
perspectives, different influences. So I think that just the growth of the city itself has helped. Also, just as with any organization, the longer you stick around, the longer you can make it, the more time you stop worrying about the day-to-day, how will we get through tomorrow, and you have more time to worry about the big picture and to think about what do we really want to say over the course of our season or our next concert. It makes the organization stronger to be able to focus on the artistry as much as the day-to-day practicalities
of running.
And the
legacy that they're one day going to leave, move into their mission. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, Matt, you probably more than anybody can attest that we have a vibrant arts community, more than even we, you know, the community as a whole even knows. There's so many hidden gems as we're starting to do shows on. But do you think that, you know, this city has responded in a way that's beautiful, in love, in unity, in togetherness? They're not responded in anger or hate or retaliation. You know, do you think the arts has something to do with that response?
I do. I see a lot of what people in the arts are saying through social media and other platforms. And even when there have been calls for maybe a counter protest or to make some sort of statement, I mean, they've all been, but we're going to be respectful, we're going to be quiet, we're not going to disrupt anything, we're just going to make our point and hope that it is heard. And I think that is something that the arts do, because the arts touch your heart and soul. They make you more aware of others. I mean, the arts give you other perspectives, other people. They introduce you to places and people you don't know in your real life, but you see them on stage, and then suddenly you feel like maybe you do have an understanding of them a little better. And so I think the arts do help raise the consciousness of being respectful of other people. I think that's one of their functions.
And when you said introduce you to other people, I think also the arts help us introduce ourselves to ourselves. I think sometimes we see ourselves in other people that we hear a song from or see in a relationship, and we understand our own motives a little bit better and why we do the things we do.
Well, exactly. You might be a straight white man, and then you watch a play about a black lesbian woman, and you suddenly realize, oh, but that's kind of like me. I think that way, or you know, or I would act just
like
that.
There's not much difference.
Right. I mean, it really does do that. It makes you think about, like as you said, about yourself.
You're in their shoes.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and too, there so many of our community leaders who have led us through this last 2 weeks. Again, I can't believe it's been 2 weeks, but led us through these last 2 weeks. They're artists. Mayor Dyer was a performer and an actor all through high school. We had him on the show and he talked about that. And Patty Sheehan is a visual artist. She loves to paint. And Joe Saunders, who's been leading our LGBT community in all the vigils, he himself is an actor. It's so neat to see some of these leaders who are leading us through time, through this time, are artists themselves and connected to that overwhelming sense of diversity and culture and loving people. I want to think that the arts community has had a little bit of part of this response that we've had.
Well, again, I think it's part of that many, many artists, although their primary function almost always is to entertain. I mean, that's what they get the joy from. But I think most of them want to give something beyond that. They want to, you know, not just touch people's funny bones or touch people's hearts. They want to do something in their brain. And
make
say,
a difference.
Right, and say, this, you know, you're laughing for the hour of this show, but for the rest of your life, I want you to remember maybe something you picked up on in this show or be influenced by something you saw in this show.
Leave here a little different.
Right.
Yeah, Matt, you know, I count you as a friend, so I've been able to talk to you face-to-face many times, but we were able to see the beauty of your writing about the arts. But so nice just to hear you talk about our artists and to talk about this community, you know, and it's beautiful. We're going to hear more from you.
Have you back because I happen to know Matt is an amazing storyteller. I just love your stories. I love when you just sit back and just tell. We can sit back and listen. So you'll come back sometime and do that.
Yes? Oh, I will sometime.
We're going to get a little bit more time with them on this show. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. This is Mary Thompson Hutt and myself, Joshua Vickery, on From the Heart Magic 107.7 FM. Well, welcome back, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday night. We hope that if you are driving or getting ready for a new week, you know, you have been on this journey with us over the last 2 weeks as we have been living through this incredible time in history, really, this tragedy that has come upon our community. And I think now 2 weeks in, we are remembering the beautiful lives, but we are looking towards the future. We're looking towards hope and toward healing, and that is the reason why we're doing this very special edition of From the Heart tonight. And we're here with our good friend Matt Palm, the arts writer and champion and advocate of the arts in Central Florida. And Matt, we were just talking about earlier, you know, I did not get to go to any of the large vigils here. There's been so many different memorials and vigils and things, but the CFC Arts family got together last week, and in just this really reflective, quiet moment, candlelight vigil. It was just beautiful. And it was the first moment that I had a time to, because I'd been going with this tribute concert and it didn't stop and breathe and really take everything in. It was the moment where I was able to do that. How have you personally dealt with this whole tragedy the last couple of weeks? And what have you been able to do? I mean, you live and breathe in an emotion-filled world, but how were you able to personally deal with this?
Well, it's probably a little different for me as a journalist in that we have covered so much. I mean, just, I suppose, the way actors can perhaps find peace, find solace, find something in acting that helps them. I mean, I think for writers, writing actually does help us. Mm. And it's an interesting kind of writing because there's the journalistic detachment that we call. I mean, you know, obviously, as a journalist, you cover many, many sad and horrible things. Maybe not me so much as a specialty writer, as an arts writer, but a general assignment journalist certainly does. And you have to learn to kind of separate your emotions from your job, which is to communicate information to people. So there's, in a way, even as you're writing about all this tragedy, you kind of are compartmentalizing it, you know, out of what your physical function is. I have to get the facts and I have to write them down. Mm. And then I'll think about it later. So when that later comes, that's when the emotion really hits. And I know for me, like many people, the church services I have attended have been very healing and beautiful. Just talking to family, I mean, that sort of thing is, you know, just common to everybody, of the things that make you feel better and help you in the face of terrible circumstances.
Have you found yourself reaching out more to family and friends during this time?
In a sense, but in a weird sense, technology has sort of changed what reaching out means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds maybe kind of silly, but just reading like my brother's Facebook feed, even if I couldn't reach him directly, mm-hmm. just to see sort of normal life going on was helpful to me.
Mm. I'll tell you, the amount of people from out of town, have you both experienced this, from other states and other countries calling you, are you okay, or writing you, was quite moving, that people thought of me. I wasn't even thinking of me. There were so many people here that needed to be thought of, but it was touching how many people reached out.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I had that the morning after. I mean, you know, everyone wanting to make sure I was okay, which was very touching. But I've noticed even more so in the weeks that have gone on. I mean, obviously, because of the way we share information now in this world, people know how hard my colleagues at the Sentinel and I have been working.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of people now still saying, are you okay? Make sure you're getting some rest. You take it easy. We can see the tremendous output. I hope you and your coworkers are okay. People have sent food to the newsroom.
Mm.
We had comfort dogs come in one day
to
play
with.
I think I saw the picture
Blue.
With
yes.
you guys. Yeah. She's
I mean,
amazing.
So, and you know, and honestly, what we're doing doesn't compare to the suffering that other people who are directly affected by this tragedy are going through. But it is comforting to realize that people are thinking about everybody, the community as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, how long have you been writing for the Sentinel as the arts writer?
As the arts writer since 2010.
Wow.
So what is that, going on 6 years?
6 years
now?
Yeah.
But I've actually worked there for many years, since 1998.
Yeah, and you're an artist yourself.
Well,
I know that because you've
barely,
sung in one of my choirs
barely.
Before.
I'm an amateur performer.
But you love to sing, you love to perform.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he lights up.
And you're very good at it. So just tell us, though, you know, you are so well respected by our arts community as a whole. If there are artists listening to this show right now, and there is still the range of emotions going through. There are days you want to cry. There are days you're angry. There are days you're confused. And I think as artists, that might be even heightened even more as connected to their emotions. What are some things that you could tell artists right now that are just struggling through this?
Wow. Putting me in the position of advising artists is a little maybe a bit much for my knowledge of how professional artists work.
Well, if it was your friend.
But honestly, I mean, I think people have to feel what they feel. And artists are in a unique position that their job is to show everybody their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that conveying feelings is what, whether you're a musician or a singer or a performer or a visual artist with what you create, I mean, it's about feelings,
mm-hmm.
showing people feelings. And I think they just have to go with it. I mean, I think a lot of artists, Mary made a comment like this earlier, a lot of artists wear their feelings on their sleeves. That is why they became artists, maybe in some cases. And I don't think there's anything wrong with using that, I mean, showing that.
In some ways, I think we give other people permission to. I know with Jason and I, we've been able to go out to some of the vigils and go out to shows. And I think that's how we've been handling the feelings that are coming up, because just being out around other people has been helpful.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that, too. It's sort of cathartic in the community. This week, I attended Max and Val Vertour. They're dancers on Dancing with the Stars,
uh-huh.
professional dancers, and they had a ballroom show that was kind of biographical that I attended. And there was something about sitting in that crowd, and some people were dressed up like you would be for
yes.
a night out at the theater. Some people were wearing different shirts, you know, Orlando Unity, Orlando Strong,
uh-huh.
wow,
all those kinds of shirts in the audience. And it was just a sort of rainbow of shirts and clothes and people. And every time you laughed at something funny they did on stage, and everyone's laughing no matter what walk of life they come
mm-hmm.
from, or there is something healing about that. You feel part of a greater thing.
Mm, you just gave great advice. Go be a part of something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go be a part of something. Yeah, I was at a vigil and I heard these words, and I don't think I'll ever forget them. But in tragedy, you have to give yourself permission to be angry. You have to
right.
give yourself permission to go on the journey, and you have to show grace to others as they're going through it. Somebody may just bust out crying, or they may be more on the edge than they would normally be. And it's okay, as long as we're going through it together.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I remember seeing is that, forgive me, it just went out of my head. I'm so emotional today. You don't know. I'm still emotional.
It's a lot to talk about. It's a lot to take in.
Mary, you think of that, because I want to tag on to what Joshua just said, because I think an important thing for arts patrons to remember is, along with giving yourself permission to be angry or to grieve, you have to give yourself permission to feel all the emotions, and that includes things like laughter, like happiness, like joy. A tragic event, as tragic as it is, cannot take all the joy and happiness out of the world. It just can't. And the arts, I think, at this time remind us of that, that for every moment of tragedy, there's a moment of happiness somewhere as well. And you shouldn't feel bad if you want to go to a comedy, if you want to go to see SAC Comedy Lab, or one of the benefits coming up at Parliament House is a night of comedians. And there's nothing wrong. Don't feel bad if that is how you feel like you want to rejoin the world, is go and laugh for an hour and a half.
The best release of an emotion is when you don't know if you're laughing or crying and you're actually doing both.
Right. Mary does that sometimes on the show. I look over and there's tears coming down, but I think she's laughing. I don't know.
So Brian Bradley is here.
It's true. Yeah, and the other thing too, Matt, and I think you can probably say this better than anyone, it is important now when it comes to the arts community to not forget about the shows that are happening. This could have an economic impact if people say, oh, I don't know if I want to go to the theater right now. I don't know if I want to go and support things. I don't know if I want to laugh. I don't know if I want to be in a public venue. But we can't live scared. We have to go on. And how important is that we need patrons and we need people listening to the show to go out and support the arts?
It's critical. I mean, one of the things that I think is fairly well known about our wonderful arts groups is they don't have large reserves for the most part. I mean, the money they're making on one show is being sunk right into the next show to keep things going, to keep the artistic community going and growing. So, yeah, they are relying on our support now, because 6 months down the road, that's the money they're going to need to be doing their shows for next year.
Mm. And please support, because the artists were the first ones to come out and make those costumes and be at those vigils and sing at them and dance at them and do the videos. So put that back out there to them. We're at Magic 107.7, Joshua Vickery and myself from the heart. We're so glad you're here, Matt Palm. It's really a pleasure to have you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have you back and talk about very exciting things. But I think, even though you may not think so, I think your advice is great for artists that are listening and the community as a whole, to hear someone who was able to see it as an artist, someone who was able to see it as someone who supports and loves and is a champion of the arts, but also somebody who had to live it as a journalist and what that world was like going through. When I was at Channel 6 the other day, and then I was at Channel 2, and I just walked in those newsrooms in an interview, and I thought, I wonder what this was like on Sunday morning, June 12th, and what that felt like and what that was like to be in that world. And maybe just quickly tell us about your Sentinel family and how are they doing and what was it like to be there that weekend and be a part of that.
As I said earlier, we have had so much incredible support from the community, and other newspapers around the country. The sad part of this story is we're sort of part of a club now of communities that have had a horrible tragedy that resonated around the world. And our fellow newspapers who have handled this sort of thing before and know what it's like for the journalists and how emotionally draining it is, as well as physically tiring because of the long hours that you're working, really stepped up. So, we would get food baskets from like the Boston Globe, who remembers, of course, the tragedy at the marathon a few years ago, or other newspapers in San Bernardino, California, who had the shooting there. They were feeding us basically for an entire week.
They knew what you were going through because they went through it themselves.
Right. And I think for my colleagues, I mean, much like artists take a little bit of pride or a little bit of comfort in the fact that they are providing a useful service to people, artists helping people deal with their emotions, journalists helping people get the facts clearly. I mean, that's kind of what keeps you going. You have a mission that's important, and it's important to the community. It's bigger for that moment than your own personal feelings, and you need to get that mission done.
So what goes around comes around, that the fact that the artists were there to help, and then we going and seeing their shows. And we're also social beings, though. So it's a good thing for us. I mean,
right. It's important. And experts say that grief is very isolating. You feel grief is so often internalized, and you feel like, oh, it's just me who feels this bad, or I don't know how to express it. And having shared experiences makes you realize that the human emotions are universal, and everyone shares them, and you're not alone in this.
I couldn't think of a better place to be than in a performance these days, whether it's someone singing or a play or music. Just to be there and sit there and allow yourself to go where it takes you and probably be surprised at things that are stored up in your shoulders or in your stomach or, you know, rather that than it turn into a reason that you have to go to a doctor, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. And Matt, Mary has a couple of special moments to end this segment with us. So we have just one more question for you.
Sure.
Do you think that this tragedy has changed our community in Orlando forever?
Ooh, forever is a scary word to a journalist who deals with, what are the facts at this moment? They could be completely different tomorrow.
Good for you. Yeah.
So
for you.
It's, we don't like to speculate on forever, which, you know, seems way beyond our scope. But I hope it has. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a big visible change in one sense, but I think that people will remember this moment. And I think when things happen, maybe they'll stand up against some sort of bigotry they observe. Or maybe they'll see someone who needs help and they'll lend a hand. And they might not even realize consciously that it's emotions coming out of what happened, what we've seen in the city in the days since the tragedy at Pulse. But I hope that feeling does stay with people.
And you've heard it from our friend Matt Palm. Through this, good is coming out. People are changing. It's so beautiful. And Matt, we're going to have you back again. But thank you for being on this very special edition of From the Heart. As we talk about the arts community response. And Mary, I think you have a couple of special things as we end
this.
I do.
I brought with me my dear friend Krista, who is going to take us out by singing a song. One of the things Krista would do often in our green room when one of us wasn't feeling well, she would sing a lullaby to us, almost the way she did to her children. And I love when Krista sings, so I asked her if she would sing a lullaby. And we've got about 2 minutes, yeah? We've got this. So Krista, my friend, when you're ready, tell us what you're singing.
Thank you, Mary. I used to sing this song to my boys at night, just to kind of let them know that I was there and that I wished them peace. And this song is called La La Loo. La La Loo, La La Loo, oh my little star sleeper, I'll sweep the stars up for you. La La Loo, La La Loo, little soft, fluffy sleeper, here comes a pink cloud for you. La la loo, la la loo, little wandering angel, fold up your wings, close your eyes. La la loo, la la loo, and may love be your keeper. La la loo, la la loo, la la loo.
So beautiful. Thank you, Krista Miller, an incredible performer in her own right here in our community. Thank you for that beautiful lullaby.
I love you, Krista. Thank you, everyone, for joining Joshua Vickery and I on From the Heart. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, and a big thank you to Matt Palm. I don't know what our town would be without you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Join us next time on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.